It's good to be with you all tonight. I'm glad everybody was able to be here and able to participate in the worship service so far. And I appreciate all the prayers on my behalf, and it's my prayer that something said here tonight will be useful and beneficial to you throughout the rest of your lives as we continue this onward battle as a Christian and as a follower of Christ. Tonight we're going to be looking at the life of David. We're going to be starting a series here, so this is be part one. David is described in Acts as a man after God's own heart. So throughout this series, we're going to look at his characteristics and how he lived his life in order to get this title, and then how we can apply these characteristics and how we can live our lives so we can be characterized as a man after God's own heart as well. If any of you have any questions or comments about the series or would like the notes on the series, just get with me after the services and I can give them to you. If we look over in Acts chapter 13 and we'll read verse 22, it says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." So this is God talking here, and the instance he's talking about is after he removes Saul from king, which we'll get into later. So we can see that David is a man after God's own heart, and we're going to look at these and how we can be like David and a man after God's own heart as well. So as we start, I think we need to give a little bit of background, introduction, how David is brought into the Bible. First we have Solomon. Solomon was a judge over Israel, and then after he got old, then his sons were judges over Israel. And his sons were not doing a very good job, as the people thought, but this is what the Lord had wanted. The Lord wanted Samuel's sons to be the judges, but the people went away from that. They didn't want the judges. They wanted to have a king like the rest of the nations. So we'll begin in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and we'll read verse 4 through 7. And this is the elders talking to Samuel here. "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto their voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." And then we'll go down to verse 19. This is after Samuel had talked to the people here, and he told them what was going to happen if they got a king. He told them how bad it was going to be, but here's the people's reaction. It says, "Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us, and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go ye every man into his city." So this is the people turning down what Samuel was saying, that we need to stick with judges like the Lord has told us to do. And the people wanted to be like everybody else and just follow after the crowd and have a king. So this is where Saul comes into the picture. If we look over in 1 Samuel chapter 9, and in verse 16 and 17, it says, "Tomorrow, about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me." And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, "Behold, the man whom I spake thee of, the same shall reign over my people." The Lord tells Samuel here that tomorrow a man will come out of Benjamin, and this man that comes out of Benjamin, this will be the king of Israel, and this will be the first king of Israel. Israel's never had a king before, and this man happened to be Saul. When he came out of Benjamin, Saul was anointed as the first king of Israel. Later on in 1 Samuel chapter 15, it goes on to show that Saul disobeys God's commandments. If we look at 1 Samuel 15 and in verse 3, this is the Lord talking to Saul here, and it says, "Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And this is what Saul really did. It said, "But Saul and the people spared Agag, which was the king of Amalek, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. So Saul did not obey what the Lord had told him to do. He did not destroy everything. He thought he had a better way because he took what he had spared and he was going to give it as a sacrifice to the Lord. But that's not what the Lord told him to do. So he disobeyed God's commandments, and then God goes on to say that it repented him that he put Saul as a king. And earlier in this time, God warned the people that the king would fall. If we look back in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and verse 11 through 18, this is what Samuel was telling the people was going to happen if they had a king. So beginning in verse 11 of 1 Samuel chapter 8, it said, And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them ear to his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards. He will give to his officers and to his servants. He will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king which shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. So the Lord was telling the people here, when you get a king, he will fail. This is the things that he's going to do. But as the people reaction, like we talked about earlier, they said, Nevertheless, give us a king like the rest of the nations. So then after Saul disobeyed the Lord's commandments, then the Lord went to Samuel, and he tells him what to do next. If we go back to 1 Samuel 16, and in verse 1, it says, And the Lord said to Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, saying, I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And then going down to verse 13, Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So Samuel was told to go to Jesse, who was at Bethlehem, and one of his sons would the Lord would anoint as king, and he wanted Samuel to go anoint him with this. So Samuel went, and he went to Jesse, and his son David was the one that was anointed as king. Now David's appearance wasn't the appearance that a normal king would look like. First of all, he was the youngest out of all of his sons, out of all of Jesse's sons. If we go back a few verses and begin in verse 10, it says, Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Hear all thy children. And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for he will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So David was the youngest out of all of his brothers. Jesse had eight sons, and David was the youngest and the smallest. He didn't have the expected appearance of a king. If we go back a little bit into verse 6, this is when Samuel first got to Jesse and to his house, and he was looking at all of his sons, and he looked on the eldest first, which was Eliab. Beginning in verse 6, And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Eliab, at this time, he was a very large man. He was one of the soldiers of the Israelite army, as we'll go to later. He was very big, and he was what you would expect a king to be, a nice, large man as a leader and a soldier. But the Lord said to Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Aminadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said, are here all your children, like we read earlier. And so what had happened was that the eldest came, and Samuel first thought, well, this has got to be him. He's a very nice-looking man, a soldier. This has got to be the leader of Israel that's going to save us from the Philistines. The Lord said no, because you don't look on the outward appearance, you look on the inward appearance. You look on his heart. This is the first characteristic that we have from David, was that he had a big heart, and he had a heart after the Lord. And then after that, Jesse made all of the rest of his sons pass before Samuel, before David, thinking that surely one of his other sons would be king. So it's clear that David didn't have the expected appearance of a king. He was small in stature, and he was ruddy, which means he had red hair. He had a beautiful countenance, so he had a fair complexion. And he just didn't look like what a king should look like. He wasn't that big soldier type guy. He was also the runt of the family, as being the smallest of all of his seven brothers. So the next thing we have after Samuel goes and anoints David, the Spirit of the Lord departs from Saul. So if we look over in 1 Samuel 16, in verse 14 and 15, it says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. So after David is first brought into the picture, he's brought in from the fields tending to the sheep, and Samuel anoints him with the oil. Then the Spirit of the Lord goes with David, and the Spirit of the Lord leaves Saul. And now an evil spirit of the Lord is troubling Saul. So now he's probably having these visions, and basically he's going crazy, as we'll talk about in a little bit. So what Saul does is he talks to his servants, and he talks to his people in Israel, and he needs a harp player to come and sue them. Well, this harp player would be David. Beginning in verse 16, it says, let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp, and it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of his servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person. And the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent thy messengers to Jesse, and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. So this is David is going to be this harp player for Saul. Then he goes on, continuing in verse 21, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So when the evil spirit was upon Saul, David would go grab his harp, and he would play him a song. And this evil spirit would depart from Saul. It would soothe him. It comforted him. And Saul initially David found favor in Saul's sight. After this, the next story we have about David, as after we have looked at his appearance and that he was a harp player, we have the story of David versus Goliath. And Goliath was the Philistine champion, and for 40 days and 40 nights he went out into the Valley of Elah, and he called out the Israelite army to send forth a man so they may fight. So if we go to the next chapter in 1 Samuel, we'll go to chapter 17 and beginning verse 8. It says, this is Goliath. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose ye a man for me and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now the Israelite army at this time, this was one of the best armies that was around. They were defeating everybody because it was the army of the Lord. And then they come against the Philistines, and they have one man, which is Goliath, who come out, and he was calling them out, and the whole Israelite army is afraid of this man. And David comes into the picture, coming into this camp, because he brings food from his father Jesse. David had already gone back to his father Jesse's house to tend to the sheep after playing the harp for Saul, and Jesse sends him to take food to his brothers and make sure they're okay. If we go down to verse 17, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge." So now David comes into the picture, and he's bringing food. He's just checking on his brothers because he's thinking they're fighting the Philistines. He's going to make sure they're okay. And then when he comes in, he sees Goliath calling out the Israelite army. And now we'll go down to verse 45, or in verse 32. It says, "And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." So we have David coming in with his 7 older brothers and the rest of the Philistine, or the Israelite army. He's coming in and saying, "Y'all don't worry about it, guys. I'll go out and fight them. I may be smaller than the rest of you, but I'll take care of it." This shows the faithfulness and the trust in the Lord at this time. He knows that if he goes out and fights this battle for the Lord, he's going to win because the Lord is on his side. And then going down to verse 45, says, Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and with spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So here is the faithfulness coming from David and the trust in him that he is his horn and his salvation, that he's going to deliver him from the Philistine army and from Goliath. And later on, it goes to show in verse 50, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." So originally we have the Philistine giant coming out and calling out the Israelites, and then at the end we have this little guy from Israel coming out and defeating their giant, and then the whole Philistine army flees from this one guy coming out, and this one guy is David. After this, we have David go back to Saul, and he goes back to him after slaying Goliath, and Saul really finds favor anymore after this. In 1 Samuel 17, and we'll go down to 57, "And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, Whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite." And then we'll continue on where David is now going to go on and meet Saul's son, which is Jonathan. "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle." So after David had defeated Goliath, he goes unto Jonathan, and we can see this love that he has between Jonathan. Jonathan and David were one of the best examples of friendship that we have in the Bible. David came from a poor household. He didn't have a whole lot. He was a keeper of the sheep. And when he comes into Jonathan, who is a prince, who is King Saul's son, Jonathan takes him in as his own brother. He strips himself of his robe, the robe of a prince, and he puts it on David. He also gives him his sword and his bow and his girdle to show him that he is now a soldier of the Israelite army. So David comes from basically nothing, and he turns into, as of now, he's basically a prince, as a brother of Jonathan. And then after this, in verse 5, it says, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So David behaved himself wisely. He didn't get puffed up. He didn't get a big head because he came from nothing, and now he's with Saul, and he's in the king's house. He behaved himself wisely. He kept his cool, and Saul set him over all the men of the war, and he found favor in all the sight of the people. Then after this, we have where David will marry into the family of the king. He's going to marry King Saul's daughter, which is Michal. If we look in 1 Samuel 18 and continue in verse 7, it says, "And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, Thou hast ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward." This is the initial point of Saul that we see his first time of jealousy. Saul becomes jealous of David because, as it shows, the people were ascribing to David 10,000s, saying David has killed 10,000s of these Philistines, and yeah, the king, Saul, has killed thousands. So Saul becomes jealous, and he eyes David from that day forward. Well, now, Saul comes up with this plan, this evil plot against David so he can kill him. If we continue in verse 10, it says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it, and David avoided out of his presence twice." So the evil spirit comes back upon Saul after he becomes jealous of David. So David, like usual, just grabs his harp and he starts playing him some songs to soothe him. But now Saul has a javelin and he casts it at the wall, but David, being quick and agile, he was able to escape of it twice. And now here comes the evil plot. "And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And he said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law, and the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servant, saying, Commune with David secretly, and say, Behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servant spake these words in the ears of David. And David said, Seemeth it to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, On this manner spake David. And Saul said, Thus shall ye say to David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines, to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. So Saul is using his daughter Michal here to kill David. He is offering her to be David's wife, but all David has to do is go out and kill 100 Philistines. If he wants to be the king's son-in-law, he's going to have to go out and kill 100 Philistines, which is the king's enemy. So this is what David does. Continuing in verse 27, "Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually." So the deal was, if he went out and killed 100 Philistines, he was able to marry his daughter, thinking that there is no way that David could go out and kill 100 of these Philistines. Surely the Philistines will kill them. Well, David goes above and beyond and goes and kills 200 Philistines. So now Saul gives him his wife to marry, and it shows that Saul knew that the Lord was with David. The Lord has to be with David if he can go out and kill 200 Philistines. And Saul was even more afraid of David continually. And after this, we have where Saul wants to kill David, and he pleads with his servants to come up with a plan to kill him. If we go to the next chapter in 1 Samuel chapter 19, and we'll begin in verse 1, it said, "Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David." Well, we've got a little hitch in the problem. David, as it said earlier, David and Saul and Jonathan's souls were knit together. They were the closest that friends could be. And Saul is speaking to Jonathan, his son, and he's telling him, let's find a way that we can kill David. If we continue in verse 2, but Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood, to slay David without a cause? Jonathan goes and he tells David what's going on here. He tells him to hide out for a little while and let me talk to my dad. So then Jonathan goes and he talks to Saul and he says, why do you want to kill him? David has been nothing but good to us and to Israel. He went out and he killed the Philistine. The Lord saved us from all the Philistines, and you even rejoiced about it. And now you want to kill him against innocent blood? What is the cause for killing David? Well, apparently Saul didn't listen, because if we look down in verse 9, it says, and the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, and he sat in his house with a javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall. And David fled and escaped that night. So this is the third time that David escaped from the javelin thrown by Saul. The next thing we have is we can see David's wife, Michal, her help for him to escape. If we continue to the next verse, in verse 11, Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to David, she said, he is sick. So Michal here, she lets David escape. She helps him to escape. And then she hides an image in his bed to save him from all of Saul's servants. And by doing this, we can see that Saul gets extremely mad at Michal. Continuing in verse 17, and Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, that he is escaped? Michal answered Saul, he said unto me, let me go, why should I kill thee? So Michal helped her husband David to escape. And by David escaping, then he has the power to do great things later, since Saul was trying to kill him. These are the things that we'll stop tonight. Going through the timeline, you can see that the next time when we start, we'll talk about the first battle of Keilah. This is when David was set as captain over the men of war, and we'll talk about his battles and how he went about doing those things as well. And just from these few stories that we went over, we can already see some of the characteristics that give David this title as being a man after God's own heart. We can see his trust in the Lord and his faithfulness. We can see his temperance against Saul when he kept trying to kill him. We can see his loving nature towards Jonathan, as well as many other characteristics. And we'll continue to look with this series and look at more characteristics of him and how we can apply these characteristics to our lives too. David is the kind of man that we all should desire to be. We should all desire to have his characteristics and to be the kind of servant that he was, and the kind of leader that he was, and everything else that he did for the Lord and the kingdom of God. If there's any here tonight who feel like they have seen some of these characteristics coming from David, and they haven't been using these and applying them to your lives, and you would like the prayers of the church, we can help you with that. We can pray for you that you will take these things and apply them to your lives more efficiently. Or if there's any who hasn't begun to walk that Christian life with Christ and haven't been buried in baptism with him, we can help you with that too. If there will be one of either class, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.